Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday Men's Only Discussion as we join our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family to take a look at an issue that has been plaguing us for way too long. Our families seem to have been socially engineered to render the men in many ways inadequate. We know that just based on what has to happen when women begin giving childbirth, just the natural order of things, men need to be able to step in and fill in the gap and give that woman the time that she needs to be able to focus on nurturing the child. Yes, it's a partnership. But we know that when women need to stay at home and nurse the baby and take care of the child and deal with the early rearing, they don't need to be under the stress of a job that only gives them 6 weeks off and having to run back and leave the child care to someone else that they may or may not even be able to trust. We don't need that kind of stress. And yet too many women are handling this and handling it alone. Has welfare and lack of education, job discrimination, and a chronic condition of fatherless homes for the last several generations been a case of social engineering where too many African-American men are not in the position of financial head of household? And how is that affecting our families? We'll talk about that today with our co-host Kareem Hamid as we have this discussion for men only. We want you to talk about it among yourselves, and women will listen, and we'll have an after-show discussion to talk about what we heard. Are they on point? Are they addressing this realistically and honestly? And more importantly, are we taking responsibility so that we can change things? We'll be right back with our host for the day, Kareem Hamid, and our men-only discussion about men as heads of households. Have we been socially engineered? We'll be right back, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And we are back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family as we listen to the conversation on men as heads of households, maintainers of their families, wives, children, and have we been socially engineered to perhaps create more of a reversal? Is this due to social engineering? Is this due perhaps to our not effectively raising our sons? Is it because of the absence of fathers in the home? And is that a product of social engineering? And how do we reverse this trend, which is obviously having an impact on the stability of our families and communities? Is it time to take responsibility for changing things and making them in a way that is healthy and productive for our children? So we have Kareem Hamid with guests who will be giving their impressions of the current situation. And more importantly, how did we get here and how do we get out of this situation, which has women too often feeling like they're doing both the jobs of the mother and the father in the home? Kareem?
Yes. Yes. First, let me greet you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and the blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Praise be to Allah. You have framed the subject matter very, very clear. We just heard Dr. Martin Luther King say that we must write our own liberation. We must reach down into the depths of our soul and pick up the pen of self-asserted manhood and write our own declaration of independence. We have to have the courage to do that. We have been following the dictates of government, of the those that frame our social dynamic. But we have to have the courage to write our ship ourselves. And I'm not saying that we need to use guesswork as to how we do that. Almighty God have constructed the framework, the structure of the human family and human beings. I want to share with you from out of the Quran, the last revealed book revealed to the whole of mankind, as what Almighty God says concerning the relationship of men and women. I'm reading from the Yusuf Ali translation. We have to refer to the word of God. Now, this is my statement, in order to be correct in structuring our lives. I will share with you the Yusuf Ali translation on this subject matter. And it reads, men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah, that is God, has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient and guard in their husband's absence what Allah, what God would have them guard. As to those women on whose part you fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first. Admonish means to warn. Next, refuse to share their beds. Do not sleep with them. This is my commentary on this commentary. And it says, and last, they use the word beat them lightly. But in the Quranic Arabic, The word is Daraba, Daraba, Daraba. But return, but if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance, for Allah is most high and great above all. Daraba means to separate yourself from them. Leave the home. You know, Yusuf Ali translated it as beat. We know beat has many definitions, but it does not indicate physical striking of a woman. You know, like we say, yes, I beat a path to her door. I beat a path to his door. That is that I walked. I walk to, I beat a path to his door. I beat a path to her house. The police officers used to walk a beat. So that is an indication of footsteps, not physically assaulting. You are, so I'm sharing with you what Almighty God has said in the relationship of men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means, that men are to support their wives and their women from their earnings, from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient. Now, let me stop right there. Devoutly obedient does not mean that she is devoutly obedient to the husband. No, she is devoutly obedient to Almighty God. She is devoutly obedient to Almighty God. And she guards in the husband's absence that what Allah would have them guard. So these are instructions to us from the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are in a situation whereby, as I stated earlier, when Almighty God ordains a thing or gives a command, the enemy of mankind, known as Shaitan Islamic expression, and he's called Satan in the English expression, the enemy of mankind seeks to reverse what Almighty God has ordained. So I have with me two guests that will share their reflections on that males are ultimately responsible for the material provisions for wives and females. We have with us Imam DeLacy Umar, and we have Brother Henry Hasib. And if they would share their thinking on this important subject matter, that men are ultimately responsible for the protection and the maintenance and the provision of our wives and our women. Imam DeLacy Umar, would you briefly introduce yourself and share with us your thoughts on this subject matter? If you would, please.
Yes. Peace and blessings to a listening audience, to you all, the panel. Thank you for inviting me, Brother Kareem and Sister Latifah. Peace and blessings to my dear friend, Henry Hasif. This is the first time I had the pleasure of being on a panel with you, Brother Henry. So I'm going to defer to you to introduce yourself and share any comments, and I'll definitely make some comments on this topic.
Okay, Brother Henry Hasib. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Could you have him spell his name so we can pull it up on the screen? We're live on Facebook and YouTube as well.
Yes, Imam DeLacy, would you share the spelling of your name?
Yeah.
And Brother Henry Hasib, would you share the spelling of your name?
Yeah. My name is D as in David, E-L-A-C-I-E, U M-M-A-H, DeLacy Umma.
Okay. From Brother Henry. Take your phone off of mute, Henry.
Okay. Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, and Hasib is H-A-S-E-E-D.
Hasib.
You have that name?
And where is Brother Henry from?
I'm in Mobile, Alabama.
Thank you very much. We want to make sure we identify you properly when you speak. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Brother Henry, I just interrupted you. You want to begin the discussion? If so, did you hear the topic?
This is such a broad subject that has caused a lot of confusion, in my opinion, in the society. You know, everything that Allah has created, Satan is trying to duplicate, not duplicate it in the same manner that Allah has, but he has taken it and he has made it opposite, as opposing. And I think that causes a lot of problem in the society. The role of the male, and that's what it is. It's a role. It's a role that we must play. You know, we have different positions. Like in this country, we have the president that has a certain role. And a lot of times I've heard people refer to the body, say, you know, the confusion will come in if the feet start trying to be the head and the head start trying to be the arms. And another part of the body that it was created to play a role does not play its role, but trying to play the role of another part of the body. And I think that describes the confusion that has happened in the role of the male and female in society. We have gotten all confused with our role. You read earlier that the male is the maintainer of the female. And we know we can look into that and we can see why. Because the female is the one that carries the child, the birth of the child. If she was the outgoing, if she was out trying to maintain the family, and I know we've switched that today to household. When I look at the word household, when I'm looking at the house there, I see the woman is more in charge of the house, you know. And sometimes males get themselves even confused in that. They will make a statement, I'm the head of my household. Well, what are you saying? I could see as your role as a head of a family. But when you start trying to dictate the house itself, then I think we kind of get out of our role as a male and we get into the role of a female. And I've heard Imam Muhammad even speak when he was talking about colors, you know. Sometimes we as male, we want to get there, and women are usually better at choosing and picking colors and things, for the home. But the male get there and he wanna, because he thinks he's head of the household, if she say blue, then I may wanna say green just to show that I got the authority. And I think we have gotten mixed up in society there. So we gotta come back to our proper role as male and understand it as male and female. That's my introduction. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, all Brother right. Henry. Inshallah, I'll just make some comments. Appreciate that, Brother Henry, setting the tone for this discussion. You know, when we look at the male, today's society, we realize that there's been a lot of social engineering done on the family. on the family structure. Make no mistake, that's what we are talking about, is family. Family. This is where the greatest harm comes to our communities and our lives. So there has been deliberate attempts to minimize and destroy male leadership. Male leadership. You know, and the importance of that is, in my home, if someone knocks on the door at night, I don't send my wife to check the door, see who's at the door. I go do that. I go to that door because I'm expecting if there's anything that needs some physical handling, that I'm going to be the one to do that. So, you know, we have gotten to the point where we miss the common sense approach to looking at male-female relationships. And as Brother Kareem read from the scripture, God has naturally given men more strength than the female. So in those matters of providing, certainly it's going to be the responsibility of the male. But look at the wonderful position that the woman has, in an honorable, high honored position of bringing both male and female life into the world and being the first teachers, the first nurturers of that life. And no matter how, whether it's male or female, we know that they come from that woman. The woman has that responsibility. So that's an honored responsibility, and it deserves to be protected and maintain, and inshallah, God willing, I'll stop there and defer to you, ma'am, please.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You know, women are not prohibited from engaging in business and commerce. They are not prohibited from doing that. They may have
just to get the appetite right now. He did
for what?
Brother Henry?
Mm-hmm. So
you said something last night. Okay. As I was stating earlier, women are not prohibited from going into business for themselves. To have a career. Almighty God has blessed them with an intellect, an inquiring mind, a very valuable brain, intelligence, reasoning, and understanding. And she should not be prohibited from following the desire within her to engage in her interest. Her interest may be a business, but the wealth of our proceeds that come from that effort, there is no obligation on the female to use those funds to maintain the house. When I say maintain, I mean to financially maintain her needs, the needs of their children, nor the house. That is hers. That is her income. If she chooses to help, if she chooses to contribute, the man must have the proper mindset. The proper mindset as to what is taking place. The proper mindset here that he must look at that and accept it as a gift from her to him. He should never enter into the mindset that she is obligated, that she has an obligation to financially support home and the provisions needed for a healthy household. If he maintains that type of thinking, then he stays in his proper role as a male, that he is the ultimate provider. And if she helps, he is to graciously thank her for her assistance, but she is not obligated. There is no obligation on her. The obligation is on the male. We hear such language now from some women, from some quarters. I don't need a man. I earn my own money. I don't need a man. I don't need a husband. What is the outcome of that? Let's look at our children and see what the outcome of that has been, a single parent-headed household. The result is not pleasing, but I put the onus on the male. He, Almighty God, says to us that he has created the human being in toil, which means work, and struggle. Toil and struggle. And the human being can only grow if he exercises those two attributes. He grows because he confronts an obligation, a problem, or whatever. He grows when he uses his mental and physical muscles to get beyond the obstacle, to meet his obligation. He grows as a human being. The translation is man was created in toil and struggle. Well, I want to add to that. Human beings were created for toil and struggle. For toil and struggle. That we exercise our human strength. We exercise our intellectual, mental, all of our strength to meet the obligations presented before us and the overcoming of obstacles. That is how we grow. If the male would know that and exercise the strength that the valuable attributes that God has given him, let's say his wife becomes pregnant and they have a small home. She has the right to request of him, we need another room added to this home. Our family is growing. She is making him aware of her needs and the needs of the family. The obligation to meet those needs, it falls to the male, not the female. It is the obligation of the male to provide what she needs and the family needs by way of provisions and sustenance. Yes, Henry shared something when he said that some men say, I'm the head of the house. And that type of thinking may make him think he is a dictator, that he dictates the structuring of the home and how that is structured. But the home is the domain of the wives and women, and she lets him know what she needs on a material or whatever basis to construct the right formation of the home life, She is the head of the home. He's obligated to meet her request of him. I need a washer and dryer. He's obligated. Not her, he's obligated. to provide that. If there is, if we need a larger home, he uses his mental and physical muscles to provide that. So this is the proper structure of family life. This is the proper structure of family life. I don't care how much money your wife makes or a woman makes, she is not obligated. She is not obligated to meet, to provide the provisions for the family and the home. That obligation is solely falls on the male, the husband.
Yeah, could I say something briefly, man?
Yes, sir.
Just on this specific topic, cultural life. Cultural life. You know, what we are sharing is from Islamic culture. You know, this is how we are taught in our scriptures to view relationship, husband, wife, children, family, etc. So what we are dealing with is a situation in the society where we lost our culture. We were brought here captive, and we struggled to hold on. You know, in the earlier days, what you were saying was very common, and right after up from slavery, so to speak, and Reconstruction, families were like that. The men were head of the house, and women understood their role, supporting the house and family, et cetera, working when they could and will, contributing to the family with no disputes or no arguments, but the husband mainly going out, doing all the heavy lifting for the family. But there's been so much deviant ideas brought into what is the role of the man, what is the role of the woman, what is the role of children. We've lost our cultural history of how family life is structured, how family life is structured, and we have to get back. You know, and unfortunately, we are sharing Islamic principles on the family, but which we know these principles were designed by the Creator following a natural pattern that's for every human being. They're not just for Muslims. For every human being. And the problem that we have in the society is that everyone has their own, is following their own mind about what's the role of the man, what's the role of the woman. And we've gotten so many bad descriptions, bad performance, lack of structure and cohesiveness. So we had a desperate situation of creating new ideas about the role of man and woman in the society. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. We need to take a break right now.
Okay. Yep. I'm with you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with this men-only discussion. And men, we want you to call in. 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that our host, Kareem Hamid, can open your mic and get your thoughts as we talk about the structure of our families. Men are the maintainers of women. Well, are we seeing that in our families? And have we been socially engineered to put women in a position of sometimes having to do both jobs? Protector, provider, and nurturer, and is that a product of social engineering? And what should we do if we don't like the way things are? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And women, we'll be having an after-show discussion because we want to hear your thoughts. Were the good old days really good for us? And have they changed for a reason? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we invite you to stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. Rima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And again, we invite you, call in 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. And women, we're going to have an after-show discussion about this topic. And men, we want to hear your voice. Call in on our American Muslim 360 line. Talk to our host for the day for this men-only discussion, Kareem Hamid, at 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. Press 1 to speak to the host and join this discussion as we talk about men as the maintainers of women. Have we been socially engineered for otherwise?
Unmuted.
And we are back.
Yes, and we are back. Praise be to God. You know, we are aware of that we are victims of social engineering. What does that mean? That means those that have a degree of influence and power over our lives have constructed the society in such a way that it works against us. The labor movement in this country, headed by Samuel Gompers and others. When unions were formed, the African-American male was not allowed to actually join those unions in skilled, high-paying jobs. In skilled, high-paying jobs, they were not allowed to join that labor force. And you could only participate in certain professions if you were licensed to do that. And the African American male was held outside of that to limit his earning power, to limit his income. Also, this nation fell under what was called the Great Depression. There was a great loss of economic life in the United States of America. The government offered
federal assistance, and it's commonly known as welfare. Well, one of the provisions to give aid to a poor family was that the male could not be in the home. He had to leave the home. Then the government would provide financial assistance to the family. That is social engineering. That is demasculating the male. That is removing his masculinity and his manhood. And we are victims of that in order to receive aid and assistance from the federal government. The male could not live in the home. That was a terrible situation that emasculated men and also reduced their masculinity in the eyes of their wives and their children, of their family, the family unit. There's an old old ploy that is ancient. And that ploy is, we shall kill off the men and let the women folk live. Now, that may not be a physical killing. That may not be a physical killing, but we shall demasculate him. We shall withhold from him the opportunity for him to use his masculinity to provide for his wives and children. But we will open up opportunities for the female to take that role of providing for the family. So we are victims of that. And also, let's look into the psychology of what happened to us psychologically. I keep referring back to the influence that the influencers use to lead us into habits and ways that go against our natural nature. I refer to the idea of placing the thinking of the male in the framework of a playboy, a pimp, a playboy that lives off of the income of women, That mindset gradually sunk, entered into the thinking of males. We know that in the late 60s, and early 70s, the influencers, they made movies. We are the product of the messages that we receive in our thinking, and it dictates our behavior. The movie Superfly, Goldie, all of those pimp-like, demasculating movies that influenced us. So we are yet trying to come out of that. We are in an environment now whereby women are being talked about very bad. They are called very bad language is being used. And treated like just a piece of flesh, my pleasure thing. So we both
both of us, the male and female, we must reconstruct our thinking, for our family structure has been almost destroyed. Our children are suffering. They have no direction. They have no direction because of the absence of leadership in the home, in the family structure. In the family structure. This is not a condemnation of women pursuing their career goals, but we have turned our children over to strangers to raise them. We have abandoned the role of parent, the role of parent. And our children are acting out. They are acting out because they do not have proper direction and the proper nurturing that only the mother can give. So I'll stop right there. If anyone, any male would like to add to this conversation, we ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Imam Delesi Omar, if you would, please.
Yes, I would like to defer to Brother Henry as well. But he does a program on critical solutions for critical thinking in this troubled society. I'd like to hear his opinion on some of the things you mentioned, so social engineering, et cetera, et cetera. He and Dr. Jamal does a lot of work in that area. Brother Henry, you please share with us.
I sound like him. As Brother Green was thinking, how, again, as I said when I first introduced this thought here, how God creates a world and Satan comes and duplicates it. And everything that the proper role, because that's what we're talking about, the proper role of the male and the female. And when we look at the society today, the reason we're talking about this subject, because that's a big problem that's in the society, that the male and the female have gotten confused in their roles. And I guess we have to break it down and look at it on the different levels, you know, of development. You mentioned about the physical and then the moral and then, the spiritual, the intellectual level there. And I think there's been confusion on all of these things. And, you know, even when we look at the American society here, at one time we didn't think women was intelligent enough to have the intelligence to vote. So they didn't allow women to vote. Only the male voted. It's a lot of things that was given to the male that denied the female, that did not have anything to do with their role as a male or female, but these things was used to divide. And I think that's the reason that we got some of these what I call crazy thoughts about our role in society. So they have reduced the thinking of the male down, as you were saying, Brother Kareem, that only as a sex object. And when you reduce something down to that, that's what we call the animal level. When I only see you just on the animal level and don't respect your intellect, or your moral position in the society, then I my respect for you become lower and lower and lower, and I don't respect you for your proper role. They just need a sex object, and we don't get the full benefit of what the male and female relationship should be. Now, we know when we look at and when we talk about roles, and we have to do this, when we talk about the male role, you really can't talk about the male role without talking about the female role, because they're intertwined. And we cannot speak of the male role in a way that it diminishes the female role all of that has been done in society. So, you know, they got the, what they call the women lip thing that's today. And because the woman has been suppressed a lot in the society, she has come up now to, as you say, come up with these, I don't need a male. Well, what do you mean that you don't need a male? What do you mean? For procreation or what you saying to make a living? Well, just what do you mean? But they throw these things out here, and most of the people don't really understand what it is doing to the family makeup, because Allah is more concerned about the family than he is the individual. It's how we build that family life, which is the basis for building the society. So we have gotten away from that, and we have to get back and understand and begin to teach the proper role of the male so we can understand also the proper role of the female. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, very important, very important. I would just add, you know, to that, that we as men, we have to really embrace, you know, when you know you've been following a certain path and it's not leading you to anywhere, you know, Confucius, is that the one said keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result? No, we have to change the way we are viewing things to get better results. So we are working on those things, building the family life, reconstruction of the family. There are so many programs now that you can refer to, but you really have to first start with how we are created as individuals. And keep in mind, if we are going to look at women not needing men, men not needing women, then we are looking at a society that's going to be totally, we are extinct. There won't be any life for anyone if we don't respect the way God has made us naturally. I'll stop with that.
Yes, sir. I want to share an article that I read of this. Okay. All right. I want to share an article that I read this morning. And it's from the Associated Press. It's the heading is Aretha Franklin's iconic song, Natural Woman, faces calls to be removed from streaming for being harmful. Nearly 55 years after its initial release, Aretha Franklin's iconic track, Natural Woman, is potentially being canceled after it was deemed offensive. According to the New York Post, the Norwegian activist group, the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance, TCMA, took to Twitter last week to slam the famous track as it is harmful to transgendered women. Aretha Franklin's 1968 song, Natural Woman, perpetuates multiple harmful anti-trans stereotypes, TCMA declared in their tweet. The organization then stated that there is no such thing. Listen to this, people. The organization then stated that there is no such thing as a natural woman. God has created, this is my commentary, God has created the human being, and God has created only two genders, male and female. When you say a natural, that means from nature, there's the female and the male housed within nature so that it can produce itself. I'm going to read on from this article. This song has helped inspire acts of harm against transgender women. Let me stop right there. We are not for physically harming, attacking no one. No physical harming or attacking another person because of their view. Let me make that perfectly clear. We are about writing the structure that Almighty God have constructed for us as human beings. For these telemarketers, they call you I'm trying to decline this call, and it's not happening. Let me, come on now. Okay. I'm back. Praise be to God. I'm so sick of these telemarketers. So let me get back to the article. Yes. The article reads, in an effort to cancel the song, the TCMA, which stands for the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance, the TCMA stated, it is requesting that this song, Natural Woman, be removed from Spotify and Apple Music. The organization, founded in January 2023, is exclusively by trans individuals. It promotes cultural changes to ensure the inclusivity of trans individuals. Now, you know, this is not an original thought. People have been influenced by the influencer to come up with this type of thinking. Our mission is to push forward the culture and remove harmful anti-trans associations in music, movies, and television, TCMA explained. Mindfulness of the transgender population is our only priority. Natural Woman was released in 1967. It quickly became one of Aretha Franklin's signature songs. 1 week after Franklin died from advanced pancreatic cancer in 2018, the iconic single made history in the United Kingdom singles charts and became a hit nearly 51 years. It was ranked number 79. Among those who have performed variations of the song include Kelly Clarkson, Celine Dion, Carole King, and Ariana Grande. So this is what we are faced with. We've got so away from the natural pattern that Almighty God have created us for, that now we are somewhat lost. We are here is ideas that are not natural being fostered upon us and our children. Fostered upon us and our children. We must get back to the natural growth pattern that Almighty God has constructed for us as human beings. This idea of I don't need a man and I don't need a woman, see what it has morphed into? Now, there was a need for female rights, female liberation. As Brother Henry stated, the female was not allowed to vote. She was denied access to many of the benefits of this country. And she had a right to demand her rights. But sometimes you can go too far. You can go too far with a thing. It can go to an extreme. And it almost morphed into a hatred of males. That is not
the purpose. The purpose should be somewhat of an equalizer. The female is essential to the progress of humanity. The male is essential for the progress of humanity. We should not be enemies of one another. We should work as one common unit, as one common unit. So, as I say again, we are victims of social engineering, and they have revved it up. They have revved it up with the idea that there's no such thing as a natural woman and a natural man. We are in a crisis situation, and we are speaking to it as men. Praise be to Almighty God. Okay, if there are any
That's time for another break, and you've got a caller on our line. Perhaps we can go to after the break. Someone wants to make a comment about what you just read.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this break. All right. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick break. And, man, we want you to call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 so our host, Kareem Hamid, can open your mic and get your thoughts. And I believe we've got a brother that wants to speak on our line, 773-450. We're coming to you after the break. And women, we're going to have a short after show to make some comments about what we heard today and our thoughts about this topic as we take a look at.
Tax are higher than ever.
As we take a look at the situation of women, and are we being forced to be the maintainers, providers, and nurturers? Have we been socially engineered to render the men in our lives obsolete? And what should we do to change things if we believe that is the case? What is our responsibility to change what we're teaching
higher than ever.
Our sons and daughters?
Every day, Tom.
We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me, for Mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor. Crime in Chicago continues to increase.
Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves. But I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And let's see.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Okay, and we are back. Let's see here. And we've got, got quite a few callers here on the switchboard. We've got a back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today, this fourth Wednesday of the month, is the men-only discussion in which we, the women, listen as men talk among themselves about how to address the issues that are affecting our lives. Sometimes we need to listen so we can understand and reflect.
Unmuted.
On what needs to change. So women will have an after-show discussion for a few minutes, so, you know, stay on the line. And men, feel free to call in 515-605-9891. And if you're on our switchboard and press 1, we'll open your mic. And I believe we've got a caller on the switchboard, area code 773-450. I believe we're back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid.
Yes, we are back.
All right. Well, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Good morning, all. Hallelujah, greetings. Assalamu alaikum to all. You know, this is a really interesting
sounds like Brother Obadiah from Chicago.
Yes, Brother Obadiah. It's an interesting conversation because, first of all, I'm wondering why, because after a slavery incident, we will follow our captors doing anything. It seems like that's the main problem right there, trying to follow in behind the wrong model. Number one, you know, there's a universal law that we deal with, and that's not got anything to do with white society or traditional. It doesn't work. They create competition among everybody. If you're black, you should be light-skinned, or you should be dark-skinned, or you should be fat or skinny. They create competition with this tradition. What is that about? They create competition among men and women. Oh, men are stronger than women, so they can boss them around. That is just not true. That is so stupid, okay? We need to just totally delete that whole file that they are feeding us every day. Because all you do is look at television. I heard you all mention earlier about the images that we had and how they can take a song like Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman and make it wrong because they want to create this non-binary society that doesn't have a gender. How crazy is that? You can't make yourself no woman even if you put on clothes and have hormone treatments and get you some boobs. That don't make you no woman. The other thing that bothers me is this idea about women and this concept of what they call beauty. You got to go buy some hair and put on some eyelashes and do all this. Why would black women fall for that? The whole idea of makeup and everything came from the beauty of a black woman. What are we doing with all that? You see how they brainwash us into this foolishness? Then we sit there and follow in behind it, oppressing our own children, oppressing our own our home family with that foolishness. If we just stop it and create a collective idea of we, us, and our, then we have a chance. Because the way this whole society is created is all backwards. There's creatures and there's a creator. Who are you auditioning for is my question. If we're auditioning for creatures, what creature can give you breath? That's absolutely stupid. We're supposed to be auditioning for our creator who teaches us what to do when we get in touch with other people. It is a unified effort instead of this divide and conquer mentality that we're dealing with. We need the we, us, and our more than anybody. And if we have unity, we will trump this world in 1 week. They fall behind us. But we're still falling in behind this foolishness. You know what's interesting to me was the images that we even had earlier on. They had an image of John Schaff. John Schaff was a strong black man. It was about something positive. In modern times, they recreated Schaff, and here comes Samuel Jackson playing some role of Schaff that just doesn't show any character at all. But that's what they do today. Anything that we had that's decent, a song about natural woman, you got to say it's wrong and make it a problem because they want to create a society that's insane. So if you look around and you watch society that they created with, the like you said, the early, you were talking about, oh, how they made the men pimps and players and, oh, a man's a player. We know doggone well a man is, manhood is about work and your mentality, a strong mind, not pimping women. That's about as weak as you can be. If you got to go around pimping your own women and say you're making profits off of them, what is wrong with your mind? You sound like you got a slave mentality and that you're a slave master mentality of being over other people. But we got to let all of that go. Turn the TV off. Stop looking at the Internet with all that foolishness and focus our minds on unity. A we, us, and our existence builds us up. That's why every week I come on, I say, it takes this $100 I got in my hand and 1,000 black people. We get $100,000 a week or a month we can create. What do we need them for? We need unity. Let's get on that. Anything less than that just doesn't work. And to me, that's the only way it can exist. There is no better or no worse as long as we let others slip between the cracks that belong to our full unit. When we get something out of everybody, from the ones on the ground to the ones on the top, then we'll be on top. But in the meantime, falling in behind a slave owner and a slave incident and watching this madness they have on TV and the images that they parade for our children, it just makes me sick. Just to think about that. Can you imagine that, how unnatural that is to say that there aren't males and females, that they're going to make a non-binary society? How foolish is that? Man, let's get our minds and consciousness on a vertical level and skip all that, because that certainly ain't going to send nobody nowhere but downward. I'm glad you got this program. You have an opportunity to touch into what is real and what we ought to be doing. Because I didn't cut all that other stuff off anyway. That's why in the morning I don't get up watching network news. When are they going to tell me something that they're going to control my mind? No, we need to control our own information by controlling our own minds and our own destiny and leave the rest of the unconscious behind. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you, Obadiah.
All right. We
have a caller here on AM 360. I believe this is Minister Plump. I'm going to open up his mic. Peace be unto you, Minister Plump.
We are in Yashalom. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, and black power and black education is the best. Brother Kareem, you know you are always on target, and Brother Obadiah, you know, you like the cleanup man. We definitely, you know, we got to get back to we, us, and our family, our people. And Brother Kareem, I have come up with an opportunity to focus on economics. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago you asked me if we could come up with a concept. And I have did some research, and we have come up with the concept of RP 23.novatexfx.com. And that's a way of life that we can create our own power with lifting up the black woman, because she is the cream of the crop. And the greatest thing that God created for us as a people, so that we could or can, in fact, yes, we can remake the world, is through the black woman. But we must all lift up the black woman. The black man must protect the black woman and get married to the black woman, as well as have children and provide for the children and to take care of the children and to raise them to be a civilized individual, male and female. And there's nothing more natural than the fact that we all come from the earth, and yet we all are children of the Most High in Allah Akbar, in sharing the thought that we can do, yes, we can, what we will to do. And whatever the mind can conceive, then the mind will achieve. And we must go back to the roots. Roots equals 23, and I thank God for you, Brother Kareem, and Brother Obadiah, and you too, Sister Naima Lateef. We got to do a community collaboration and get back to the village. It takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid. Our people, our children went astray when they become other than themselves and practicing the wilderness of that of a kid, which is that of a beast or a lower self. See, it's from the neighbor up that we must focus on, which is the higher self. But yet the whole self is from the bottom of the feet to the top of your dome, which is Allah is God, and Allah is the greatest, and God's will on it. We got to go back to God. We got to be ourselves and develop ourselves. And for more information, Brother Kareem and Brother Obadiah, I want you all to keep in touch with me at 312-671-2773. And let's go about the business of building our people in a natural way that we can promote unity in the community, black and black love, back in the, you know, 30s and 40s and 50s, and even back in the 20s when we go back to Black Wall Street, 1921. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, our people really was in love with themselves and each other. And ever since the opposition come out the caves, then, you know, we have been tormented and misused and abused in every direction. So we have to, I thank God, be civilized human beings. And yet, you know, go for a better way of life that we can share success, breed success, and black education, black history, and black culture is the best, and black heritage. So we have to do just like Brother Obadiah said, go to We Earth and our family, and remember our roots. And roots is abundance of blessing, which is 23. So we all are 23s if you want to be different from Michael Jackson, different from Michael Jordan and Oprah Winfrey too. But yet we have the ability to be ourselves, to reflect to one another that we all are who are in the eyes of God, and therefore we will be more stronger and wiser, be happy, be healthy, and be wealthy and be wise. Thank you so much for listening to me. And go to the Hal Washington Foundation.info for more information. God bless you, Brother Kareem. We love you. Keep up the good work. And Brother Obadiah and Sister Naima, we love you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I want to now hear from Imam Dilesi Ummah. You know, we are not in search of a way of life. We don't have to sit down and figure how life should be structured. Almighty God has provided that structure for us. We must go back to the word of the Creator that created us. Turn the television off. Be very selective in what we lend our minds to and the minds of our children by way of social media. All of these mediums, we have to be very discriminating as to what we allow to enter our thinking and our subconscious and our conscious mind, and go back to the word of Almighty God. The Quran was not revealed for a black man, the white man, or no other color. It was revealed for the whole of mankind. And God tells us he's not just speaking to one community. He's speaking to all of humanity, that men are the protectors and maintainers of women because the Creator has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Now, right there, because they support them from their means, I don't care how much money my wife earns, I should never enter into the thought that she's obligated. She's obligated to provide for the well-being of her, my children, and our home. If she contributes, I should remain in the mindset that I am entrusted with the protection and maintenance of my family. That type of mindset, we have to maintain that and accept that as a gift from her to me and graciously thank her, but never enter into the mindset that she is obligated. We are men, and we are to overcome obstacles. God created us for toil and struggle, and that is how we grow. That is how we grow as a human species on this earth. Praise be to Almighty God.
Assalamu alaikum. It's time for our last break, and then we can come back, perhaps get the words from Brother Ummah Dilesi.
Okay.
But yes, so we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. And, of course, if you are on our switchboard, men, feel free to press 1. We'll notify our host, Kareem Hamid. Sisters, we are going to have an after-show discussion about what we heard today. And we look forward to your comments. And our sister, Viata, says, Grand Rising Queen Sister. Well, I sent you the StreamYard link if you'd like to join me on screen for the after-show. Viata, we certainly look forward to hearing your comments as we take a look at the family structure, and is it evolving into something that is unhealthy, or is it evolving into something that can be more equitable, and are we being socially engineered to keep us in a state of struggle? What should we be doing to change that? Well, we will be right back after this last break, so we invite you all to stay with us, and men, call in. 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that our host, Kareem Hamid, will know that you have something to say. And we will be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries, to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, who is hosting today the Men Only discussion. Men are the maintainers of women. Have we been socially engineered? Men, call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 to speak. And I believe we're going to our guest today, one of our guests, Brother DeLacy Umar. And then, of course, I think we've got another caller on the line here, 314-677, come to you next, and 773-737. But first, let's go back to our American Muslim 360 switchboard and hear our guest.
Yes, thank you, Sister. Thank you, Sister Naima. I will be very brief so we can get to the callers. You know, I've been working on a concept I heard from Imam Muhammad. He talked about the trauma that we've gone through in terms of our journey from being brought here to America through that horrible experience. And he talked about it was a traumatic experience that disassociated us from our real culture. And he said, we need to dwell on a philosophy for life in a sacred unity. You know, I was listening to Brother Obadiah and our dear brother talking about that unity. Yes, and so we need to see our unity as sacred in these matters that we're dealing with. And we need to come together and look at our life in a different manner. because we've tried so many things to get this life together. So we need to have a philosophy for life and be united in pursuing it. And, you know, and the ma'am made a statement, for example, others who come to America and have had this unity, the Haitians, the Jamaicans, the immigrant communities that come over here, Hispanics, et cetera, they have a sacred unity that they respect each other, they respect their life, they respect their culture, and they respect the values that will sustain and promote a healthy life. So this is a challenge that I'm introducing for us, that we start to value each other and have that idea of respect. And even though we are diverse and have different ideas, but to uplift our community, we'll uplift the world. So I'll just stop right there. Thank you so much.
All right.
From Brother Henry, if you would share, please. Wa alaikum as-salam.
All of the information that we've gotten is so important there. But one of the things I was thinking about is we have to get back to the basic human family. And we know we develop on four areas, a social, and we need to know the areas that we're talking about, because a lot of times, you know, we switch a person may be dealing with social issues. And then, you know, we got economics, because that plays a part in the family life, as you were saying about the maintaining. We talked that on the economic area, but there's more areas than even economics that we had to talk about. On the intellect and on the spiritual or moral area there. And this is what makes up the family life, because this is what we're talking about, because a male by himself without a female, I mean, as some people say, he only represents half. And if you only represent half, then you got another half that you have to look for. And we even need to talk about the importance of that from both ends, of how those halves come together to make that whole, because that's what the life begins to build itself on. And we do need to look into how we should develop naturally, the way our Creator created us, to become the family, live the life that the family, because there's so many temptations out here to take you off the road. And we have to realize, we really have to realize in planning of this, that we have a common enemy that we call Shaitan, some say Satan. We have to, we cannot not acknowledge that there is an enemy, that anything that we try to do of good, the Shaitan is going to come and try to destroy it. As I said before, that when God created his world, Satan tried to duplicate his world, but not for the same reason. Allah created his world so we would come together, get to know each other. Satan created his world, duplicated the world, because he don't create anything, but tried to duplicate Allah's world by division and deceitfulness. And he don't hide the fact that that's what he do. And we have to be aware of that and begin to try to build back the structure of family life, especially among we as African American, because we have been destroyed, in my opinion, the most. There we said, you know, some of those effects that slavery have had on us, we know that has greatly. But I believe the one who Allah allows the most to happen to, then he allows the greatest blessing to come back to. So that's why I tell people that I believe we are chosen people, but we just have not come up and start living up our duty that we should be living as a human being that's a part of this human family. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you both. You have some callers on your line, Naima?
Yes, 314-677. Your mic is open. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
It's Bianchi, Naima. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Okay.
You and your co-host.
Yes, sir.
You know,
Happy New Year.
I heard somebody make mention about, and you know, these ideas are good, but I think that they're trying to encompass all people as looking alike, being alike. That's just not going to be possible. I heard somebody mention about Aretha Franklin and Natural Woman. That song was written by her friend, Jerry Coffin, who's an openly gay female. And you had Whitney Houston. A lot of her song was written by Dolly Parton, especially I Will Always Love You. So that's just the society. It has always been that way. It's more noticeable today because of the means of being able to observe and research. But people will be people. And those that human beings will be human beings. And those that have these ideologies and that many talk about it, but they don't work to put them in place, even starting off with their own family members who they should have control over or some great influence over rather than a perfect stranger. So I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you so much. All right. And women, we're going to have a 30-minute after show to kind of reflect on what we've heard. Men, we want you to call in and 515-605-9891, or if you're on our switchboard, press 1. And I'll inform our host so that we can open your mic and get your thoughts. As we talk about the social engineering that is affecting our culture. Is it for the better or the worse? And what should our families be looking like?
You know, Naima, one of the schemes of the enemy of mankind is to make wrong fair seeming. To make wrong fair seeming. To make wrong kind of, this is the natural way. People are being what they have what they call cancel culture, that if a celebrity or someone that has a show, if they speak up for the heterosexual way of life, those that are opposed to that, they raise a large stink, and they put pressure on the sponsors of that broadcast to cancel them. As heterosexuals, we need to band together and apply the same pressure on the sponsors of these mediums that they continue give equal access to the heterosexual agenda. They're trying to make wrong fair seeming, and we need to stop following the world. Stop following the world. The social messages that reach us. Dick Gregory made an analysis once. I believe it was Dick Gregory. He said the Caucasian woman, she goes to a hair salon. The African-American woman goes to a beauty salon. A beauty salon. He made the analogy that she goes there because she doesn't think she's beautiful. She will, and what is held up as
the ultimate beauty, the features of a Caucasian woman. So we let our women know you are naturally beautiful. You are beautiful. You are lovely. You take no second tier, no back seat to no other female on this earth. You are beautiful already. You do not need false eyelashes. You do not need red rouge on your cheeks. Your skin color is beautiful. You are beautiful unto yourself. Stop following the ways of another people. That's speaking to our mothers, our wives, and our daughters. You are beautiful already. You are excellent. And as men, we have to emphasize that. Tell them that. Appreciate them. Let them know how much they are loved. And we loved caring for you. We enjoy providing those things that you need. That is our role as provider. We love you. There is an onus on both sexes, on the female and the male. We must express how much we love and appreciate the female among us and not cause division among us. The wife in opposition to the husband and the husband in opposition to the wife. A children left clueless with no rudder. So we have to correct these things. God says, I have created you and created your forms most beautiful and most excellent. Beautiful and most excellent. So I'm imploring that for us as men, we have an obligation also in this. We need to express the excellence of our wives and our daughters, that you are beautiful unto yourself. And I recognize the intelligence that you have. With your intellect and my intellect, we can move the family forward as we work as partners. Don't let no one come and divide us. Yeah, the women, they're the heads now, and they're at blah, blah, blah. That does not benefit us. We've been socially engineered into this position, and I'm grateful to know now that the amount of African-American males on college campuses have exceeded the amount of African-American males in prisons. In prison. So we need one another. I'll stop right there.
We've got some women on the line, and I want you all to hold on because we're going to do an after show, just 30 minutes, and address some of the issues that you all have raised. We've been going through this gender war longer than we realized, and it is detrimental to our culture. There are issues that women have with the idea of that the passage that you read in the beginning, which too many men around the world are interpreting as permission to physically assault their wives, and they are in fact enforcing that in too many places around the world. And so we have to come to a place, as you said, of partnership. But women, we want you to stay on the line and call in now. The switchboard goes down at 9, so we want you to be on the line. 515-605-9325. And men, if you've got a comment before we go, please call in on the AM 360 line. And so you can press 1 and Kareem can open your mic. Get your thoughts before we go. That's 515-605-9891. And we certainly do want to hear your thoughts And, of course, if you are watching us on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them. And I think we've got time for some more wrap-up comments from our guests before we go.
Okay. Do you have any closing remarks, Imam Delacy Umar? This story leaves the air. But let me say I am truly grateful for all the men that have participated in this critical subject matter. But yes, sir. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes, I appreciate the program once a month where we can have this kind of conversation with the men on building family, strong family life. Appreciate Sister Naima Latif for affording that platform, and you, Brother Imam, for inviting me to share some comments. And we hope to continue on this path of rebuilding family life. Thank you.
You're welcome, my brother. Brother Henry Hasid, you have any closing remarks?
Yes, I'd just like to say we have just scratched the surface. That is so much more to this. And it's actually the very foundation of human life. And that's what we're talking about. And we got to get back to the natural path that we were created to be. So let's do continue this and work hard. Like one of the brothers said, we can start right with our family, and we can go from there. Allah say, save yourself and your family. So let's start with the family, our individual families, and let's move on out to our larger family. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for those that have shared on this important subject matter. We are, Imam Muhammad wrote a book and gave a lecture entitled Life, the Final Battlefield. The Final Battlefield. We are battling, we are fighting for our life as human beings. As human beings, and anytime someone introduces a formula that stunts life, depletes reproduction of ourselves, they are battling to destroy life. So, as males and females, we must band together to save life, the universal species called human. And this introduction of males and females, that the male, in order for him to be able, he cannot feel complete unless he is meeting the obligation that Almighty God have trusted him with. And that is be the protector and the maintainers of women. Let me say this by way of marriage. As males, we have to prepare ourselves for marriage. Increase your income. Be able to afford the full maintenance of your wives and your children. That moves us forward. That presses that economic button. That presses that productive life. Praise be to God, that productive life to meet our responsibilities as males on this earth. I don't care what the obstacle is. We can overcome them and exert our mental, physical, and the strength of our hearts and our souls to truly measure up as the maintainers and the protectors of women. That is our Almighty God have entrusted us. He did not say you are their boss. You are their dictator. Almighty God is their boss. Almighty God is their dictator. Praise be to God. It says here, and let me see, wait a minute. And
Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient. Oh, now, that does not mean obedient to that male. Obedient to their Lord and Creator. She will not be devious. She will not be dishonest. She will be at the highest of her moral standards to pass those on to her children. She will be devoutly obedient to Almighty God. So there is much more we can say, but praise be to Allah, we have come to the end of this broadcast. And Naima, if you have any closing remarks, we got about 2 minutes left.
Well, we just invite those who want to continue to call in now. Women, if you've got comments you'd like to share, call in. We've got a few on our switchboard now. We'll be opening up your mics at 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. We're going to take a look at this and see what should we be teaching our children that would produce the kind of family that is balanced and loving and supportive and in line with what is intended for us as a human species, so that we can reverse the social engineering that we have endured. So feel free to call in or, of course, join us live on Facebook and YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in The Female Solution, or Facebook and type in The Female Solution and join our discussion. We want to hear from you because we do want to present solutions. Thank you so much, Brother Kareem, and your guests and all the callers. We appreciate you so very much for sharing the men's point of view on this fourth Wednesday program on The Female Solution. And we'll see you all again tomorrow on The Female Solution. Stay with us for the after show. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsanida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, medasi, Nigeria, eshe, South Africa, ngiyabonga, Senegal, geret, Kenya, asante, Israel, toda, Pakistan, shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, shukran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings. Welcome to the after show. We've got callers on the line. Well, I'm going to open up your microphones and get your comments. First, let me go to 773-737. I believe we've got the illustrious Mama D, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. It's just so interesting to listen to the brother man on the last Wednesday of the month. I really look forward to it. But, I mean, I was just blown away that somebody could actually come out and say there is no such thing as a natural woman, and how Aretha Franklin's song is really destroying the transcendence. You know, it amazes me that we can't be what we are because of what because others want to be what they are not. I find that very, very interesting. And
you know,
I
there's so many things that get thrown at us as distractions, so we can be angry and arguing. You know, when he was talking about that, I thought that sure is ridiculous. You know, you can't make people, you know, agree to something that just because you want them to. You know, I understand those who feel like, okay, I was born in this body, I changed my mind, I want to be something else. Okay, that's fine, that's your business. But you can't make everybody else decide to support that if they don't. You know, just be who you are.
At the end of the day, none of us got to select. But at the end of the day, all human beings come from a union of a male and a female, whatever you want to call yourself. It took sperm and egg to create a living soul. But what's really going on is when the draft no longer existed and you do not have war to kill up the population of young men, then you need other methods to control population. It's all about population control. Homosexuality is a way to control populations without killing. Transgender, non-binary sex education, mandated in kindergarten, that changed the language. So you can no longer say pregnant woman. You've got to say pregnant person. It's no longer breastfeeding. It's chest feeding. And milk don't come from a chest. It comes from a breast. But we're going along with these new definitions. When people, what do they call it in the law now? It's like it used to be race, creed, or color. Now if we got this laws that you've got to have gender-affirming health care, and so that you can pay at least $100,000 because a female wants to remove their breast, so I guess they can get into chest feeding, and they want a penis changed into a vagina, and at the taxpayer's expense, and the whole notion of the violence of abortion has got to do with population control too. You're killing living souls, and whatever you want to call it, it's breathing, and therefore it's a living soul. And when women who bring forth life, they don't have no respect for life, then you wonder, where is respect for life going to come from? The word of that's written says children are a heritage of God. So what have you done? You've taken his heritage and threw it into the trash can because you got a better idea. The heritage of God and the fruit of the womb, that unborn living soul, is his reward. And I mean, people have, I think that in the 60s when we turned this world upside down, now that we are 60s and beyond, we've got to turn it right side up again. Because And we got something on us today that we didn't have in the 60s. Blessed are you that your days are long on the land that God, not the alderman, not the mayor, not the governors, and not the president, have given you. I mean, I know we want to, he said that, oh, in vain how you worship me when you forsake the commandments to follow after these customs and doctrines of men, because you prefer to follow the creator instead of the creator, and that is why we are going backwards as a species instead of forward. What do you think?
Well, you know, Mama D, I've been reading a book series, and I've been mentioning this on the last couple of shows, I think, by an author entitled Neil Donald Walsh, and the book series is called Conversations with God, and it's really been profound, and I'm hoping to have him on as a guest, if not, at least get permission to share some of his videos and audios. But I've learned, and of course we've known this, but we didn't really know like the time frame. But there was a time when women were in the dominant position and the world was a matriarchy. And men were pretty much just kind of used as breeders, like you know, the bees and the ants. You know, the insect kingdom, where it's the queen bee, and then you have the workers, and that's really all their function. And it's the females that really ran things. So there was a time in human history where that was the reality. And this is pre-Bible and all other written records we have. It was before all of that. The earth has been around much longer than our calculations. There was a time when women were actually the ones who ran government, ran industry, shaped the culture, and men just basically performed their roles of heavy lifting and child breeding, more or less. You know, you plant the seed and then you get out of the way. So it was really the opposite of what it is now, where women dominated and men were minimalized in terms of their roles in society. And then it changed gradually, where men worked toward getting equal, and then they worked toward becoming dominant. And so now we have a patriarchy instead of a matriarchy. So as a human family, haven't been able to live according to the law of love your neighbor as yourself, because I think one of the guests on the show, one of the men said that, you know, we haven't been able to work out how to have unity, because one group wants to dominate the other, and it never works. And so now, like you pointed out, you got some people deciding, well, I don't even want to be this gender anymore. I want to be something else for whatever reasons, and that creates an issue, because now it's like, well, who gets to call themselves a woman? Were you woman born, or were you women by, you know, decision? You know, who gets to call themselves a man? And then, oh, maybe let's not even refer to gender at all. So, we're at this level of confusion as a species. And if you look at every other species on the planet, nobody else is going through this confusion except for human beings. Why do you think that is? Why are we the only ones that's confused?
I would like to ask you, because male dogs don't have sex with other male dogs. Somehow another, they know what a female is, and that's why they clam up on the back of them. I look at all of this promotional stuff where you got the males and they're embracing each other. Hey, look, penises they're not long enough and not flexible enough to go all the way out and around and enter into the rib. They got to do it doggy style. But they don't show you that. You know, you're not facing each other. You're doggy style. This is the way men do it, and this is the way dogs do it. Show us that. Let us see a clear diagram, and then we can be able to decide. But what gets me is, okay, this conversation with God, when did that that civilization exists when women ran everything. It has always been might. If I can beat you up, if I got a superior weapon, I'm the one in charge. And as long as a man had muscle, he could overpower women with one blow, and it's been that way. So I don't buy the theory. I don't know where one thread of history is saying when this civilization existed, when women were running things. And so I just don't believe everything that they put on the internet or put in a book.
I urge our viewers and listeners to Google Neil Donald Walsh and Conversations with God. It's spelled N-E-A-L-E, Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D, Walsh, W-A-L-S-C-H. I'm going to work on having him on as a guest, but if not, because he does so many interviews, you know, per day, and his books have been translated into 37 languages around the world. And I was just listening to one of the audiobooks. So if his schedule doesn't permit, I will certainly see about getting permission to just play some of the audiobooks. You know, we have been misled about the history of the earth. It's way longer than 6,000 years. We know that because the pyramids are older than that. It's older than 10,000 years. You know, there's been life on this earth for millions of years and many different civilizations, and we're discovering that now as we now have technology to go to the bottom of the ocean and see the continents that at first we thought were just legends, Lemuria and Atlantis. Well, now we know they existed. Now we're finding that they were more technologically advanced than what we have now. So there's a whole history of Earth that we have simply not been taught that is a reality that's way before any of our currently recorded books that we're reading. So now, of course, there are going to be a lot of people who say, I don't believe that. And it's because we have difficulty believing that there is something that we haven't been taught, which I don't know why, because we're constantly seeing that there are things that we haven't been taught. We look at now and see how schools are trying to wipe out history and rewrite history. So if we know they're doing it now, we can believe it's been done in the past. But, you know, I want to get some man's thought about that. I'm going to open up some mics. What are your thoughts about the discovery that there used to be a matriarchy and the world used to be ran by women with men being in the subservient position? This whole situation used to be in reverse. How does that make you feel? I believe Bianchi is on the line. I've opened your mic, 314-677. What are your thoughts about that?
Where is that at, in Wakanda? Yeah, I was going to tell Mama D.
Wakanda.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to tell her that now I have seen dogs, a male dog jump on the back of another male dog, but the male dog that it jumped on the back did not raise his tail. And the copulation wouldn't have never occurred anyway because they just not designed, made that way. And the dog that jumped on the back of the other dog, it was something wrong with him. It was something wrong. He was either suffering from overburdened, or fleas, mange, or it was just something was wrong with it. And that's what you have. You have, in society, you have people that just ain't wired correctly. And you live in a society now with misguided laws. And by the way, if you ever on a jury trial and you are a jury that's trying a defendant based on a law, and if you think that law is not constitution, you can nullify it. You can refuse to find that person guilty. And that's the way it is now. You got people that's got something wrong with them. You can't say nothing to them because the laws will punish you. And we got a messed up society today. And it's very important that you don't let these people and these instruments get to your kids. Because it's what they go after. They go after your kids. Your kids that they can warp their mind would assure their future existence. But you don't let them get to your kids, and hopefully they'll just go away.
Well, now, do you think that we need to be overly concerned about other people's sexuality? And I think that's one of the, this seems to be one of the triggers that upsets people, whether somebody's transgender or homosexual or non-binary or whatever the case may be. People get upset like that as if they believe that you can program a child or confuse a child regarding their sexual identity. I personally don't think you can change what someone is. If a child is born heterosexual, I don't think there is a way to change their orientation. I don't care how much literature you have about it or how many things they see people doing. That's something that's internal. I don't think it's changeable. So I think we are panicking about that for no reason. That's my position. I don't know.
Have you ever heard of the term curiosity killed the cat? Well, human beings have curiosity, too, and they want to try something that is not traditional.
And
it will prove to be detrimental to them. But it's not that we, being that the traditional normality, want to have concern about the others. It's the others who have concern that we don't care anything about them. Go ahead, bye, see ya. That's where the problem lies.
You know, my position, I tend to think that if you don't care what other people are doing sexually, then it's not going to affect you. It's like, whatever someone else is doing, how is that affecting my life? It really isn't. And so if I'm putting a lot of energy into trying to either condemn, condone, or control somebody else, I'm wasting my energy. I don't care what someone else does. That's just my thought. I'm going to open up a couple other mics. I believe we've got Obadiah at 773-450. Do you have a thought about this in terms of, does any particular gender need to be dominant, number one? Can we create a society where there really truly is equality, balance, mutual respect? And three, does it really matter what somebody else decides to do in terms of their sexuality? Is it really something that can affect the next generation? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, because the law that everybody has to follow is what's being promoted. And we are all impacted by law.
So can the law dictate sexuality at all? I mean, can it make you be one thing or another? Can the law do that?
When the law takes a kindergartner and says, makes the law mandate, not that they learn ABCs, not that they learn how to read in kindergarten, but these little five-year-olds, they know the difference. Are you binary? You know, why you are making this a mandate in school? You're making it a law in school that you've got to. Your children have to declare their sexuality, and they have to declare they're non-binary or they're this or that. It's ridiculous. These little children don't hardly know the difference between a penis and a vagina in the first place. But it is the law that they go to public school or they go to some kind of school, and this is the law that you teach them this and let them be whatever gender they want to be at school. We won't let your parents know about that, but when you go home, it's different. But we've got to let you be yourself. So if you give them a piece of crayon and they don't know about, they haven't gone to art school and they draw something, they have drawn something that looks like a girl. So this tells who they are. So when they are at school, what do you want to be called? You want to be called Bill, or you want to be called Susan? We'll call you by your binary name. And this is what's happening to our children in these schools. Well, it doesn't impact you. It impacts you because they're changing the laws. They're changing the language. You can lose your job if you call somebody the wrong pronoun. You called them a he, and they were supposed to be a she, and it's ridiculous, a them and a they. We've got to learn a whole new vocabulary because we can't be what and who we are because somebody else wants to be what and who they are not.
That's interesting. Well, let me go to a new caller, 919-606. Your mic is open there. Those who are watching, unfortunately, the switchboard closes at 9, so you'll just have to write in your comments on our Facebook or YouTube channel. I needed to emphasize that if you wanted to call in, you had to call in before 9 o'clock. But those who are on our switchboard now, you're free to speak. Just press 1 and I'll open your mic. 919-606, your mic is open. Give us your thoughts about this. And give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Anita, and I'm calling from North Carolina. She asked me to listen in. This is real foolish, so I don't know if what I'm going to say is going to make sense, because when you talk about foolishness, it's like leaves that just run in a circle when it's windy. You never get anywhere. You just run it in the same circle. So I don't know how adults get this stupid, I'm going to be honest. But anyway, we have a lot of people that ride the fence. I heard a lot of the men talking about, you know, different things. But a lot of women ride the fence. They want to be a domestic woman, and then they want to be out in the world. And it's very difficult for that to happen. So you get these conflicts with the men and arguing with them. And the men are just going to like, no, I can't do that, because they know that's taking too much of their time. And a woman seems to think that she could sacrifice her children to an institution while she runs, as my mother called it, run the street, you know, and make her career or whatever she's doing. And a woman has to grow up about, you know, what she's doing. Okay, and then the structure, well, she's tearing the structure up of the family when she decides that the children can be raised in an institution, you know, and that the man's supposed to do the nurturing while she goes out to work. I mean, I don't know if men are going to want to do that, being that they don't carry the children and they don't have menstrual cycles and things like that to make them really sensitive like women are in that type of a way. But then we have this Virgin Mary concept that all women are Virgin Mary. I mean, who's defining what Virgin Mary is? I mean, she's supposed to have pure concepts, you know, and they don't necessarily have pure concepts, you know. If you go to a party naked and drinking, and then you say somebody raped you, I mean, that's not a Virgin Mary concept. I mean, if everybody's drunk, then people are doing things to you not in their right mind, but you want them to respect you. I mean, are you being clear-minded as a woman? And then, so this is a Disney approach. Test feeding, and I think bottle feeding is a Disney approach, too. You know, everything is in fantasy. You know, I breastfed. I hear all the conflicts with the bottle. So, I mean, I just put a lot of responsibility on a woman about, are you really protecting your natural role and really getting over to man how you deal with this now? Cutting how many children you have and using contraceptives is allowing a lot of women to dip in pockets of people that are married and have affairs with men that are married and use their money. Or women that are not married have babies, and then they dip into the tax people's pockets and use money. But if you're a married woman, you can't dip in another man's pocket, you know, like that by just going out being with someone because you have one man. So this is one, it's a lot of unfair competition with women that want to live these different kind of ways that they decide they can do this. But you're dipping in someone else's pocket. And people like me that's married, I couldn't go and just go be with some more people if I needed more money. I mean, it's just insane. So it sounds like somebody's foot has slipped. God said he wouldn't let your foot slip. It sounds like when we not follow God, our feet slip, and we just fall into hell, I guess. That's the only thing I can say. And the children are suffering very much from the conflicts of structure. You know, they don't know what a woman does. They don't know what a man does. And the kids are like, well, is the institution supposed to tell me what to do? And then you bring in some Mexican minorities, you know, that don't have any literacy, and you want them to take care of your children. And then we're an advanced society, so how are we going to do that? So there's a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of women thinking beyond what she really has capacity to do, and it's a Disney concept of how she's trying to handle it. But that's the only thing I can come up with.
So, Anita, let me ask you this question. What does the ideal family look like for you? What would be the actions, the roles, the behaviors of the husband, the wife, and the children, ideally? What do you see?
Well, Elijah Muhammad, I guess you all, you know, have heard his concept, has decided that women need to be protected while childbearing, and that's usually in her younger years because as we get older. And so it would follow along that line only because naturally there was no birth control back then other than, I guess, self-induced abortions or whatever people would do. So if you're having children, I mean, it's kind of hard for the woman to, you know, men usually don't want you if you have 10 children already, you know, so you kind of like might need to consider, you know, a more of a situation where the children can learn their natural history and genetically from the mother and the father because they're together, and then kind of like that, and then whatever the biology of a pregnant woman is calling for a man to provide her with is what the society should kind of be along the lines of, like, she can't be pregnant and running around in the street all day, or she can't be pregnant and, you know, like doing jobs that men would do because it would shake the baby out of her womb. But, you know, and she just can't say she's not a woman. So that I would say do along the natural lines and then do the spiritual part of it that would support the child growing up understanding why the natural lines are there and respecting them, but also the spiritual lines where it doesn't start to, you know, get into, I don't want a woman at all, I want a man, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, it seems that the way we have structured our families have not really given the kind of support that children need. And I'm going to open the mic, Minister Plump. You're always quoting the thing of it takes a village to raise a child. If the village was really involved in child rearing, and you have this couple, they've got children, one, two, three children, and maybe both parents may need to work in terms of, you know, the maintenance of a lifestyle that they want to have that's comfortable, how, in your vision, how would a village be supportive so that children are not neglected and the husband and the wife are able to both nurture the children and contribute to the welfare of the community? What do you see as the way we should structure a culture that's healthy for our families?
Hallelujah. As-salamu alaykum. Yes, thank you. Excellent question. It, you know, balance is a way of life, and to me, equal is 50-50 or 100-100. You know, so I'm gonna keep it 100-100. To share is to share a partnership relationship. I experienced a situation that my second wife, she had five other children, and I accepted her, and when she announced to me that she was in childbirth, and we decided to make a family. Even though we had an additional family, it seemed like, you know, even from my past experience, I've had two sides as far as family. In other words, my first wife, she had two children plus, a natural birth that I married to her, and then my daughter was born. However, it became a distorted situation where I accepted her children. However, she did not accept mine. And then with my second wife, she accepted my children and I accepted hers. And that created a balance in life, which, they say if a man is missing a woman or a woman is missing a man, then they're missing the better half. And yet, to me, both have to be committed 100%. 100% to make a family work. So it must be life is choices, freedom, justice, equality, and economics involved in a family structure. And then, too, when it comes to the village, if you have problems like most in any family would naturally do, then two heads is better than, one, and three or four or five heads is better than, one or two. So that's where the village comes in. And when you just lay a problem out, you first got to admit that you got a problem, then you got to face the problem, and then you got to constantly work on it together until you solve the problem. And we do have a problem, for a perfect example, in Chicago. And that is a problem of balance, imbalance. We have to go back to the roots of the natural process as, God has created us to be ourselves. And that's to be either male or female, and male and female, or male, and just be yourself, own and accept your own self, and yet to be yourself is to be either the man or the woman, or the woman or the man, and to create a family that each one teach one. Plus the elders, in the family. I remember back in the day, when we was coming up, if a situation happened where a child was doing something wrong, then the neighbors would tell on the child. And back in the day, they would even maybe whoop the child with the parents' permission, and then even when the child get home, they got another whooping because they was wrong. So that's where not to say that that was the best process, but it was a discipline process. And in all ways of life and family, we must discipline ourselves and each other to be a civilized human beings. I hope I might have helped.
Yes.
I might have helped the cause.
Thank you so much for that comment. One of the things that we did, as you pointed out, one of the things that we did was show that the whole community was watching and concerned about the behavior, and there was a standard of behavior that we wanted the children to maintain, and everybody agreed on that standard, and all the adults work to enforce it. So I think in that sense, that's something that we should continue to do in terms of a collective agreement that there is a standard of behavior that all children should adhere to. Now, of course, we've talked about the whole corporal punishment, whooping, beating thing. we've talked about that a lot. But I think there is a necessity for us to agree to guide and teach and steer our children toward the correct behavior as a collective. And there is a way for the community to do that without the use of violence, but definitely with the use of a system of agreement among the adults that this is behavior that it will not be tolerated. This is a behavior that in order for the community to thrive, all the children need to be taught to conform to this behavior for the good of everybody. I think there's a way to teach that without the use of fear. I think there's a way to teach a child that you belong to a group and your behavior affects the welfare of the group and yourself. So if you harm another, you're harming yourself. I think we can teach that and we can demonstrate that so that all of our children understand that. And the way we teach it is to demonstrate it the way we treat each other. We can't mistreat each other in the home or outside the home and teach our children to be respectful of us or themselves. We have to demonstrate the behavior so that they know this is the way that we as a community operate. We look out for each other. We care for each other's needs. We share what we have. We treat each other with kindness and respect. This is the way that we function in this community. If you're doing something other than that, then not only are we going to be displeased, but we're going to take whatever measures to help you correct your behavior, meaning we're going to have you make amends for whoever you hurt. And this is doable, but
That's right.
We have, like you pointed out, Minister Plump, what we have is such an extreme of violence where you have children with guns and then you have a Department of Children and Family Services that in a lot of ways, even though the intention maybe would have been to remove a child from a home that wasn't safe, it has gotten to a point where the children can now play one set of adults against another. Well, if you harm me, I'm going to call DCFS on you. So instead of our community collectively working for the welfare of our children, we have one agency that is threatening to take away the parental authority of the parents, and so the children then learn to disrespect the parents, and it creates chaos. So we have to fix that, and we have to figure out how to lay a foundation of the right behavior in a way that does not violate anyone and definitely reinforces the fact that adults are to be protectors and teachers and maintainers of the children. And I think we have to do this as a partnership in a way that teaches children respect for all life. And that's the task that we have. There's a reason why we play this commercial with the Female Solution on 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults. That means right now, if we put the right things in motion, we're going to have a different world 50 years from now because we're going to change the way we're teaching our children. But we have to understand what it is they're being taught now, and we have to take responsibility for what we're modeling because we can't blame other people, can't blame the devil, can't blame nobody. Children are learning from us how to behave. What are we showing them?
You're right. Sister Naima?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd just like to add something that I feel is very natural and yet positive, progressive, and yet professional. The Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington said we must plump the whole community. So I came up with an active...
What does that mean our treatment of each other? How are we helping the mother who is maybe something happened, the father's missing, and she needs help? Are we willing to reach out to her because she doesn't have that male in the house, or are we just going to talk about her and make her feel bad because her children are out there raggedy? How do we help the man who's trying to take care of his family? He's trying to get employment. He's trying to get skills. Do the men who have skills share their knowledge with him so he has the means to take care of his family? How are we being our brother's keeper? How do we plump that whole community? How do we make sure everybody has what they need instead of just talking about people when they don't have? And if we see a wayward teenager who is thinking that it's fun to go out and carjack, what do we do besides just having the police come and lock him up? Is there a way that we can correct and reshape the behavior so that he sees himself differently? He sees himself as a member of a community and not somebody who the community has cast aside, therefore he doesn't have any conscience about hurting his neighbor. How do we help? How do we instill higher values in the children who have been steered astray because we didn't have the strong family unit? How do we do that?
Thank you, beloved. Yes, I do believe, yes, we can through education or re-educating our people in promoting PLUMP. We promote it in peace, love, unity, marketing people. And that would consume all for one and one for all in promoting unity in the community, 50-50 with each one teach one, and share success, breed success with another one.
I definitely believe in sharing. Definitely believe we should share what we have. So let me ask you this question. Well, Mama D, let me ask you this question as an educator, because you are concerned about what they're teaching in the classrooms and whether or not what they're teaching is wholesome in terms of family structure, affirming the identity of a person. So, Mama D, based on, what Minister Plum's been saying about unity and encouragement and all of these things and the collective community looking out for children, Mama D, what do you envision as a way to make children feel that they have the support of the community and affirming who they are and giving them a healthy sense of self and self-esteem? If we were going to teach identity, whether it's racial, sexual, whatever, how do we teach it, starting with those young kindergartners, in a way that, in your opinion, is healthy and wholesome and empowering? What do you see?
You know, growing up, there was a saying, children are to be seen and not heard. But I don't think adults realize that they were also being seen. And what they were showing the children was an improper example. So I think that when you, as parents or as people that supervise children, you should do it by example. Don't tell the children what to do. Show the children what to do. And if you're doing the right thing, then they will learn to do the right thing. But parents want to do wrong and say to the children, don't do as I do as I say do. Why should I? Because you're doing the wrong thing. You're leading me astray, and I'm a child, and your job was supposed to be train him up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But you're not training them in the way that they should go, because you're telling them one thing and you're doing another. So this disrespect, this hypocrisy, it begins with the parents. If you're not qualified to tell your children, do as I say, and they are seeing you do wrong every day of the week. Be a good example.
Well, I think that is
better than telling.
Well, I agree to that most definitely. Well, we've got to go. We've had a great after show. Thank you all who have stayed with us. Thank you all for who have watched and chimed in on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for your comments. I think, Mama D, that really is the solution. We've got to set the example. The way we want our children to be is what we must be also. And we've got to share, which means if we see our neighbor in need, and we should not just let them suffer when we know we have much more that we can offer, food, clothing, even shelter. Don't talk about people who are homeless. If you've got an extra room, you can at least let them get out of the cold. Everybody who's homeless is not on drugs. There's no reason for our children to be out on the streets because they don't have a home, because the parents have put them out for whatever reasons. We have to be the village. We have to demonstrate
Absolutely.
What it means to be our brother and sister's keeper. We have to care enough so that people who are in need are not impoverished, are not suffering, are not hungry, are not without a coat on a cold day or without shoes. We have to care enough to show our children what it looks like to care for each other. And when we show it, when we demonstrate it, when we act it out, then they will get the message that they're part of a community and a community works together, a community cooperates.
And the best way to safeguard your good child is to safeguard a not-so-good child. Teach that other child. And when we do that, then we'll be on the right foot. As James Brown would say, get on that good foot.
Get on the good foot. That's right. Well, we thank you all so much. Yes, we're going to get on the good foot, everybody, and most definitely we're going to build that village and know that we have the power to create the life that we would like to see. We have the power. Nobody else is controlling us. We have the power to do this. So let us move forward without fear, knowing that we have the power to create. That's what we're doing with our thoughts and our words and our actions. And for those who want to be part of the Helping the Homeless Project, we invite you to go to, I believe it's the higherlearningnetwork.org, where our dear sister, Zelda, is every week going out to help the homeless. Go to the website. Give money if you don't have time to give or you don't have materials. She's buying heaters for those who are living outdoors so they don't freeze to death. And there are so many people who are working to help. So if you're not able to physically do something, give money to somebody who is. Go to higherlearningnetwork.org and help our sister Zelda, help those who are in need. Be a part of the solution. We thank you all so much. And join us again tomorrow. We'll be right on back here with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, and thank you to all who have lent your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for being a part of the solution. We'll see you again tomorrow.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.